Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Spring.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing. Limousine right, jet flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. Haynes says Portland preferred the 20-team return to play format. Thus, again, kind of proving the point. They wanted the route that was going to give them the best chance to make the postseason. Fewer teams. That's not going to go their way.
No.
How about not suck for 66 games? I mean, I love this team. I want them to succeed. I know sometimes it can sound like we're Debbie Downers about the Blazers because we don't kiss their ass every day. But come on. You weren't going to get your way. Whatever. There you go. There's the explanation from Haynes. We don't need to touch on that.
The positive is we know the dates. The NBA is coming back. It is around the corner. And hallelujah, live sports are near a return.
Let me just say this before we get into some Breeze stuff to finish that segment up. Because then guess what? We have to get to the OSU football player who also was caught being racist. I know it's a big storyline right now in sports and not many people are happy about that, but that's kind of what our job entails. Our job is to react to the news, not always create the news. So sometimes you have to get to that. So we have a lot more we'll get to today on the show. Swags Plums. We have some goofy stories as well. You made a good point, I think, on Breeze. It's not so much, you know, there's this side now on social media, and social media can be such a cesspool for this stuff. Where people are now outraged that there's backlash against Breeze giving an opinion or a feeling.
Sure.
To me, it's not that. Like, he's not getting backlash for sharing how he feels. It's more like the timing of it. And if you're going to give an opinion, be prepared for a reaction that's not necessarily in favor of your opinion. Sure. Right? Everybody wants to have a free speech. Well, you just got free speech rights. Nobody stopped him from talking. Nobody said, Drew, say what I want you to say. He spoke how he wanted to speak, and it did not sit well with people at this time. So people spoke out against it. That's not trying to change the ability to say and feel however you want. It's more just not everybody's going to be on board with every opinion you have. Mm-hmm. And I understand the sentiment about the timing of the apology, how if you kind of read it, and it's a lengthy one, so I'm not really going to dive in, you can find it. He doesn't necessarily walk back.
He doesn't get to the root of what they had a problem with and saying, it's okay if you want to take a knee because I understand.
Yeah, he didn't ever say that. So there's obviously people that are going to pick apart the apology as well. I think the apology is opportunistic, but I also don't think there's a better time to apologize than right away. That doesn't always mean that it's the right thing or the wrong thing. And I hope this makes sense, but he said what he said. You're disrespecting the flag, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you feel. Now, you can apologize, and I do think a lot of people can feel one way and have good dialogue and conversation with people and walk away going, wow, that opened my eyes. Personally, you had 2016 through 2020 to do that. I mean, this was the issue in the NFL with Kaepernick, and for 5 years now, you just didn't do it. You never thought about it. You never had conversations. Okay, I think there's a real chance for him to turn this around, but it's gonna have to be behind the scenes and doing work off the field that impact and help African American communities, educating other communities on this and doing that work, right? Having team meetings can be real breakthroughs. I've been in, I'm not any high-level college or pro athlete. I've had emotional team meetings in high school where somebody says something or there's teammates fighting and we get in front of each other and we kind of hash it out. That's what's great about locker rooms is you have that ability. As poorly as that was said yesterday, just from my two cents, he will have the chance in the next handful of months and maybe even years to completely learn from this and turn it around. I just think it's obvious here, man. You didn't need to share that right now. You're a quarterback who reads the field. You couldn't read the room. And it's just, it's piss poor timing. But he's entitled to what he thinks and how he feels, and he shared those sentiments. Not everybody has to agree with him, and that's the beauty of free speech. I do think he can turn this around. It's going to have to take a lot of off-the-field work and a lot of conversations, and it's going to take time to heal from this. But this isn't the end of Drew Brees being liked. This isn't the end of Drew Brees being beloved by other teammates. By the way, Marcus Davenport and Joe Horn, one person playing and one person who used to play, he's had some support here in, well, this isn't who Drew Brees is. So he's going to be allowed that, and he should be. We love to forgive people, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take time. It's going to take healing, and you really do hope that Drew Brees can have his eyes opened in a certain respect by some of his teammates like Malcolm Jenkins, and we're just going to have to wait on what that turnaround is like within New Orleans.
Yeah, I think the sentiment of pushback was essentially, don't tell us what our protest stands for. Our protest stands for something that we believe deeply in. And when you come out with a statement like that, telling us what we're protesting, you're completely changing the narrative, and they don't want to allow that to happen again. And this to be this whole new debate about what it means and what it doesn't mean and who you're actually protesting and are you anti-American? And it just it goes down a completely different avenue that I think was frustrating to a lot of the folks who are probably planning to peaceful protest in NFL games this upcoming year. It should also be said about Drew Brees, too. Like, he gets the benefit of the doubt, rightfully so, because of what he's done in that community. And there have not been many athletes over the last 10, 15 years that have done more for their community than Drew Brees. And I think that's why a lot of folks around that area also say, man, this guy is a tremendous person, and he has been in the city of New Orleans. Maybe I disagree with what he had to say in this current moment, but we'll always love him for what he's done, especially in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And I think what you've seen, you know, some people were frustrated with the apology. And look, there's all you're never going to be able to make everybody happy, right?
Like, it's kind of a lose-lose almost if you apologize.
Right, it is, because we had people texting in saying people need to stand up for what they said. Stop walking back your comments. I'm sick and tired of this. And other people saying, well, the apology didn't go far enough. He needs to apologize more. And what's most important to Drew Brees at this moment, and I think it showed that he knew that in some of the stuff that I read today, was what he was saying to teammates when they talked this afternoon and what he was saying to his coaching staff and that kind of stuff, because essentially every single one of his teammates came out and said, we're on the same page now. And there were a few teammates that even said, I don't want to go jump on this kind of online flash mob, if you will.
The cancel culture of like Drew Brees forever.
I can't remember the teammate who did, off the top of my head, it might have been Davenport, but who said, I called him personally. Like, I saw that quote. I didn't tweet anything. I didn't send out a video.
Which is good. I love that.
It's like, dude, I personally called him and said, man, you're missing the mark. It's really frustrating to me, but he didn't jump on Twitter and publicize all this stuff. And for everybody who talked to Drew Brees today, they obviously say he gets it and he understands it. So for those who say the apology didn't go far enough, his teammates clearly don't feel that way. So I think that's important to highlight as well.
I mean, it really is a lose-lose, right? Like, I hope I don't sound like I'm trying to be the Drew Brees scapegoat here in any way. I disagreed with his messaging. I disagreed with the timing of everything. And I really do. I see when you can send an apology that quickly and maybe not include certain things. I can see how that obviously does not resonate, but
with a Google search stock photo,
you know what? It's up to other people that actually talk and interact with Drew Brees to decide who Drew Brees is. I don't know Drew Brees. I'm never probably going to know Drew Brees. I have no problem. Again, share how you feel. And if you don't want to apologize, then okay. I'll still make my opinion based on you, on how I feel about your comments and how different I feel about those. But if you want to apologize, let him apologize. That's what there is, that mentality of, you said what you said, don't apologize. It's like, well, what if he actually has remorse? You know, maybe people can say the wrong thing and instantly be told by somebody they actually respect, love, care about, and go, whoa, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't mean, you know what I mean? Like, again, this is stuff you could have learned in 2016, and you wouldn't even talk about the flag had he properly learned or talked about it with people. But whether it's 2016 or 2020, it seems there's no better time than now to educate yourself or try to learn things that maybe you don't understand or don't resonate in your life. Like, Malcolm Jenkins can come out and say, we're brothers on the field and you're high-fiving me and you're all for me, but we leave the field. I'm black, you're white. There's a different world there. Yeah, sure. Not every black superstar, millionaire, celebrity has to face the same injustices as other black people in America who aren't famous and athletes. But that doesn't take away from feelings and messaging and stories that they've heard or experienced their whole lives. So I think the crowd that clamors for the stick with what you said, man, that I don't agree with that. I mean, if he wants to, then let him. But if he wants to apologize because he truly feels remorse.
Right, if it's a genuine apology.
And by the way, Drew Brees was there for the hurricane stuff and post-hurricane and helped lead a resurgence for a city. And there's no doubt he is vested in it. He donated $5 million just recently, a couple months back. So You can't say he doesn't care. It's just maybe caught in the moment, said how he truly feels. Didn't think twice about it, instantly was told, dude, what? And then you start to learn about it. I'm okay with wanting to walk things back if you truly mean it and you really hope Drew Brees does mean it and isn't just apologizing right to pander. And you hope that the team meetings come out with him maybe getting a new sense or viewpoint of everything going on, because it's easy for people to not watch the news right now. It's easy for people who have no connection with an entire fight against injustice to just dismiss it and go, it's not real. I've never seen it. It's not real.
Right.
Why don't you show
to deal with it.
All the white injustices? It's so easy to do that versus the people who are choosing to stand up, the people who are choosing to use their voices, the people who are trying to reach individuals who don't understand this right now. And if Drew Brees is really going to go that way, good for him.
Yeah, I try and find the positive in this, too, that I think a lot of these can be educational moments for people.
Absolutely.
Of just understanding shared experiences, why they're different. And for the moment of his clarity on why they're protesting, why they feel the need to protest, and why it does not mean what he inferred that it means. And that was kind of the sentiment that I got from his apology. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. We're all trying to learn and educate and grow and understand what other people are going through. Because when this whole thing started, we both talked about, and I think every white person has released the same exact statement of saying, we don't know what it's like to be you. We don't know what it's like to go through your lives. We don't know what it's like to face the things that you're having to face. And I think the base level of what we can all do is say, I'm open ears. Explain it to me, what it's like going through what you're going through, and how can we get on some form of a level of understanding. And I think it's a great educational moment for Drew Brees, and I feel like he's handling it that way.
All right, a story in Corvallis we're going to get to coming up next. A casino was fooled by a man. We've got Toad Venom penis story to get to as well. Crunch time around the corner. And Swag's bag of plums. All next, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. What anyone thinks. All right, welcome back in 117. I don't know where Dirt's going to go. He's got a couple options here. The Mill Casino down in Coos Bay. There's a great story there. Or this porn star who was charged with manslaughter using toad venom and penises.
Yeah, yeah. He makes candles, too.
Yes, he does. And yes, he does.
I tweeted them out if you would like to go look at them.
Yeah, you did.
Very, very veiny.
To each their own. To each their own. Well, look, this is part of Tim Taylor's hanging out. This is part of our job is this is a pretty local story, so we'll throw this one on there today. And it's ugly. I think a lot of things are being revealed right now that are ugly, and I'll just say I've loved the responses to a lot of this stuff, and I think it's only going to improve and continue to get better as we move forward. Freshman or a redshirt freshman tied into Oregon State, Rocco Carley, had some audio message tweeted out yesterday, and it was just disgusting to hear. I listened to it. I didn't want to pull it. I don't want to play it. I don't think there's no platform that should be doing that. But it was laced with anti-Muslim, African-American tirade with his friends. Just disgusting stuff you wouldn't want anybody to be saying, even in a joking manner. And that got released. He came out and sent a statement because it went kind of viral locally. And he basically did not take full responsibility. He said it was a jokey thing. We didn't mean it that way. And I apologize. To which all of his teammates came out and said, I never want to see you again.
Right.
We were brothers in a locker room, and this is how you felt the whole time. Not long after this surfaced, Jonathan Smith, who also sent a message out at the start of the protest, sent a message that said, I became aware of the comments made by Rocco Carly earlier this evening. I immediately shared the audio with Scott Barnes. We both agreed this language and attitude is entirely unacceptable, regardless of circumstance or environment. I spoke with Rocco and dismissed him from the team. I will not tolerate racism or hate speech. So in the same way I was just disgusted as an OSU alum, I was quickly encouraged that at least the head coach made no excuse, didn't say, oh, we're going to talk internally. It was get the hell out of here. We're not handling this stuff anymore or dealing with it. There's no team meeting for that kind of language. Also a tough day for OSU in general. They had to fire a decent amount of people yesterday, their athletic department. I texted a couple people. I had heard some names that I knew that lost their jobs that had been there a long time. So it truly was a tough, tough day for their athletic administration on top of this coming out hours after that. But John and Smith handling it right away and getting rid of it. So let's all continue to do this. Let's never do internal conversations. This stuff leaks. They're gone. There should be no second chances for this kind of stuff. In terms of staying with the same team,
there's no excuse for it. He came out in a statement. I think he said he was pretending to be a Southern man or somebody from the South and using an accent and what somebody from the South would be saying. But kind of going on the heels of what we talked about yesterday, despite what our guest from Clemson tried to tell us, there's never a good excuse to use the N-word, whether you're repeating it, joking, whether you're singing along in a rap song. There's no excuse for it. And that's going to fall on a lot of deaf ears when you try and use that as your crutch of saying, I was just pretending to be a racist from the South. This video still existed. He claimed, apparently, that it was a couple of years old, and he had done it on Snapchat. And then I don't know why or how it circulated again last night. Who was the person that found it or who was the person that published it?
One of his friends recorded it.
It was clearly still out there somewhere. And we've seen that bite a lot of people in the ass in the last handful of years of old tweets that come out. Josh Hader of the Brewers, right? Just for an example, you know, stuff gets dug up when you kind of have moments. I had never heard of this kid, never heard his name before.
I hadn't either. Right? His dad, I think, was an alum. At OSU, obviously years ago, but I think he had a tie-in with the university. He's from the Salem area, Mount Angel.
Okay,
so he's a local product, a local kid, and I believe I read on Sports Illustrated that his dad was alum. He's already been removed, by the way, from the website.
Yeah, he's already gone.
That was scratched.
And that's where I'm with you. Like, you see that initially, and it's a really bad look for your university. And that was kind of the trending thing on Twitter initially of like, oh, God, this is happening at Oregon State. This is a bad look. All the other teammates, as you pointed out, were tweeting like, man, we were in the same locker room together and you're saying this kind of stuff on videos. Like, it makes everybody question the person that you are that you would be able to say something like that. So what started as a really bad look for Oregon State, I thought became, as you're mentioning, a very positive look for them, because this is how you deal with things like this. There is no excuse for it, whether it's a joking video, whatever excuse you want to try and come up with. Like, yeah, go sell that somewhere else, man. We're not buying your bill of goods. Jonathan Smith called up the athletic director. They both acted swiftly and said, man, screw this. We're not putting up with it. You're gone. You're off the team. And I don't know if I've ever seen somebody cut off of a program as quickly as he was last night. So kudos to Oregon State for that.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but yeah, it's...
It took like an hour from when I saw the video to seeing the news release from Oregon State.
Even in itself, it's like, whoa, we're giving kudos to a team for cutting it. I mean, yeah, I know that can kind of sound terrible, but we've seen this before, right? I don't think this kid was really going to be a program-changing player, so you obviously can go into that sentiment. I always play devil's advocate with my own opinions before the show. If I know where I'm going to go, I always like play the... You know, like Colin does that on the show because he's solo. I kind of do that in the car sometimes with myself.
You debate yourself back and forth.
Well, yeah, in my mind, because I'm like, what's the other side going to say to that? And it's not me here trying to, well, how awesome is this by Oregon State? It's more just like, I'm glad there is no internal conversation. I'm glad there was no messaging of, hey, we're going to discuss this and we'll, you know, I just get to the point, get his ass out of there and let him either be somebody else's problem or we never hear his name again.
And that was reflected in Coach Smith's statement. There was nothing related to football in the statement other than that the kid was on the football team.
Yeah.
And when you decide that you're now no longer going to tolerate whatever, then you don't tolerate it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's the first step, is if you decide personally you're not going to tolerate it anymore, then don't tolerate it. Now the question becomes, okay, how do I change or go about affecting the change for others? Or how do I go find all the others to help push the message out and understand, okay, what are the consequences going to be if I step out and become vocal or active about it? And so you understand, not that you're not ready to deal with it, but just go, okay, what am I going to deal with? So you can think about how you're going to present it.
Getting to the point where it's not even a think about thing is that's it. That's the future. It's like,
that's where you want to be.
Oh, he went racial. Oh, okay. See you later. It shouldn't matter how good or bad or relevant or not relevant you are. It's like, dude, we're not tolerating this crap anymore. And that obviously is a part of what's going on. Do you think, I don't really want to have another segment on this. I get it, right? Like it seems like the last couple of days, it continues to be people having these things brought up either from the past or recently that are just full of hate and ignorance. Jake Fromm was caught with a message where he joked about buying guns.
He said he wished only elite white people could be able to buy guns.
Purchase guns. Now,
something along those lines.
He sent out I was joking. I've never heard people in a jokey way talk about elite white people. So that's a new one. But I don't know what the Bills' plans are. Maybe the Bills wanted to give him a chance as a franchise guy to be the backup in case Allen doesn't work. What do the Bills do now? Because this is as ugly look as you can get, too.
Yeah.
Elite white people should only be able to buy guns.
I guess if you want to find a positive in it, at least he didn't use the N-word in the text. So
I'm not finding a positive in this.
That going for him. Yeah, the text read, so he apparently, it was a text from March 16th of 2019. I don't know who released it or how this came out, but somebody clearly had saved the text and released it. It said, guns are good, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. Ha ha. That was the text. Now, how does Buffalo handle it? I don't know. He is coming in. What round was he drafted in?
Third or fourth,
somewhere in there. So I mean, you have Josh Allen. I don't think they're going to lose a lot of sleep if they end up cutting him. If that's the decision that they have to go, I don't know how people in Buffalo feel about this.
I think most people don't put him as a franchise guy anyway.
Right, you're just kind of one of those guys that's going to bounce around a little bit and probably be a backup, and who knows how long you're going to last in the NFL. It's another example of people being careful with the things that they say, and there's never an excuse for it. Are you going to try and say that you were joking with this? Is that what what's the reasoning for sending a text message like that? There's none that makes sense. And so whatever you come up with, I know he already released an apology, but it's going to fall on deaf ears.
By the way, Jonathan Smith handing the Rocco Carly stuff versus, what's his name? Norvell. Is it Mike Norvell?
Yeah.
Florida State coach.
You see that story?
Yeah, so that was the other one where he came out with a statement and said, I have talked individually with every single one of my players about
one-on-one.
One-on-one. I've had a conversation with all of them, and I've given them the platform to speak their minds and say whatever they want, that kind of stuff, to which I think their star defensive...
Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle.
Their best defensive lineman came out and said, that's horse-ass because you didn't talk to me.
And now they're protesting. They don't want to... won't work out.
Apparently, he cleared the air with them today, and he said he was just misspeaking because he had conversations with some players, but not all. So that was his defense of it, and the defensive lineman did send out a tweet and said, we talked today and we're on the same page. Everything's going to be all right.
Well, if they're moving forward, then good. Yeah. But
he did last night. He said, this is BS. We never had a conversation. You sent a generic text to every single player. And I think, it goes kind of to the Dabo thing yesterday, just watching how this plays. This is very heightened in the minds of a lot of people, including college athletes and recruits as well. I mean, you're keeping an eye on this kind of stuff, right? If you're socially aware, you're paying attention to it. And there's going to be some winners and losers out of this. I truly believe that some coaches are handling this really well.
There should be winners and losers.
I think Lincoln Riley has handled this extremely well. And he came out with, I think, another interview saying if players want to protest or anything they want to do, I'm all for it. I'm here to support them. And he has been on their side this entire time, not only with the protests, but also with the coronavirus. I think locally, Jonathan Smith, the coach that we just talked about, has handled this really well. Mario Cristobal has handled this extremely well, showing up to the protest. You saw immediately when that story went out, I don't know how many of the players were at the protest in Eugene, but you immediately saw when the story went out how many recruits and current players and former players quote tweeted it and said, that's my guy. That's why we love him. That's why we want to play for him. Like, everybody immediately took notice of it, including a couple of kids who had just verbally committed of saying, that's why I want to go play for him. So some coaches are handling this the right way. And to come out with a statement to piss off your star defensive lineman claiming that you've talked, like, why? Why are people making mistakes like this? Well, have conversations with your players. If you don't, then don't say you did.
I think this time, you know what this time does, Dirt? It kind of reveals who you are, right? It reveals an element that has kind of always been there. And I think other people, Norvell's a little different. It wasn't like it was a racist comment attached. It was more just like an exaggeration almost to,
right,
I don't know, pander or make it,
a good word.
You know, make it seem like he was really in tune the way that other people have been. Like when you get the local coaches, one that dismisses a player right away and the other that goes to a protest with his players, those are looked upon in a positive light. And I think coaches see those stories. They see the Lincoln Riley story and they go, oh, God, I mean, Lincoln Riley's handling this well. What can I say? Well, I talked to a couple guys. Maybe if I tell this reporter, I talked to my team.
Right.
Right. And you exaggerate it a little bit. And that is obviously the wrong thing to do. But I think there is some of that. And let me put my name out there and let me show that I'm on board. When you're going to exaggerate it to that extent and your own players are going to call you out on it, well, that is a problem. And at least some of these places are able to discuss these things internally and truly see how the kids feel. Because again, predominantly black college players.
Yeah, Marvin Wilson, by the way, the Florida defensive lineman, he tweeted out a video today. It's about 2 minutes long where he talks about, he said in the tweet, I took a stand, we got what we wanted, and we're moving forward. I appreciate Coach Norvell for encouraging me to use my platform and speak for what me and my teammates believe in, be the change that you needed when you was growing up. So he sent out a couple of different videos saying that they cleared the air today.
All right. Coming up next, we're either going to get a story about a guy conning a casino in Coos Bay or Venom Toad penis story. I don't know where Dirt's going, but we'll get to it next.
We're playing golf today at 3:30 after the show. And Joe Fish has been bragging about how he's going to play. Now he is apparently cowering down and only wanting to play nine holes.
That's because his dad found out where he was playing and goes, oh, God, good luck.
Yeah, so we're just taking him out to Eastmoreland. Let's
right
go play a nice little public course. And he is now, so go shame him on Twitter at, what is he, at JoeFish3, I think.
JoeFish3.
Go shame him on Twitter. Because he said, this is going to be ugly. I might only play nine. No.
No. You got to trudge through. All 18, my friend.
We're not timesing your nine score hole or nine hole score by two. Not happening.
So I was going to play 18. I totally got the dates wrong in my mind. Otherwise, I would be playing 18 with you guys, but I can only play nine because I'm going to my nephew's birthday, and
you gotta
I don't want to miss it.
Some raspberries, man.
Yeah, the schnozberries. Tastes like schnozberries.
Schnozberries.
But Don't punk out. Play 18. Take your lumps like a man. I might be playing this weekend in the Tacoma area with my brother and maybe my dad. And neither of them play golf ever.
Sure.
I asked my older brother, when's the last time you golfed? He said, 2 years ago.
There you go.
He thinks he's going to be within striking distance of beating me. And you know how bad I am.
Sure. Yeah. You can run into the ball every now and then.
Yeah. I might break 100, maybe. He thinks he's going to be close. And I'm like, you're going to be terrible.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
I'm going to count every single stroke of his
and
on top of mine and drops and penalties.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to break 120.
So go shame Joe Fisher on Twitter because he's trying to back out of this round. He's all scared after bragging about his hellacious seeds he's been hitting on the range. Now apparently he only wants to play nine holes worth of hellacious seeds. So go shame him on Twitter. Have I discovered the greatest Twitter headline of all time? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I will throw this up for an award of the greatest Twitter headline for an article of all time.
Okay.
It begins, quote, Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, Nacho, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. I rest my case. Find me a better headline on Twitter than that. You cannot find one.
I don't think you can find one. I got a lot of questions here.
So let's get to the story.
Okay, please share the story, and I will try to follow up with my question to see what your answers will be.
So by the way, if you want to go see his candles that are shaped like male genitalia, I tweeted them out last night at Theodore Johnson. If you want to go take a gander at them, I've contemplated to buy one as a gag gift for somebody because they are hilarious.
Well, okay, but can I say something about that real quick?
Sure, fire away.
You have to make it yours, and that makes the gift even funnier.
Oh, like your size?
You have to make the molding of yours and then give that to the GIF.
See, I don't know if you can. I don't know how to do that.
There's things.
Are there ways you can do that?
There's companies online that you can actually do this with. I think they send you the molding kit and
you just put it in there,
and you can actually have them make your genitalia. And doing that's funny. Because then we can joke about the size, and then also they've got your genitalia as a candle in their house.
Now, what if you're a grower, not a shower? Do you go...
No, you go full.
You go full?
Stand tall.
Okay, you want to stand in attention? Because it'd be kind of funny if you weren't standing at attention.
Well, otherwise it wouldn't burn very long.
Yeah, that candle's gone in 10 minutes.
It's melting. Yeah, it's fast.
I'm melting! So, porn star has been arrested on manslaughter charges. So, this guy, his name is Nacho. Nacho! Apparently he's a porn star, and... he was arrested last week in Valencia, connected to the death of a man in July of 2019. The media has identified the victim as apparently this fashion photographer named Jose. The operation began following the victim's death, which again was in July of 2019, so about a year ago, during the celebration of a mystic ritual based on the inhalation of venom of the Bufo alvarius toad. Okay, so the toad apparently is a rare species, which is native to the desert area that stretches from Mexico into California and Arizona. It secretes venom containing a very powerful natural psychedelic substance known as 5-MeO-DMT. Okay, are we following along?
Mm-hmm.
So following the 11-month inquiry, apparently they arrested him and one of his relatives on the suspicion of manslaughter and crimes against public health. Investigators said they had discovered such rituals were being carried regularly on the grounds they offered medicinal benefits. But in reality, apparently this harmful ancestral ritual posed a serious health risk, luring people who were easily influenced, vulnerable, or who were seeking help for illness or addictions using alternative methods.
So they're basically kind of citing that this is manslaughter because somebody was dumb enough to believe the rituals.
Apparently, man.
You know, I'm not in on this ritual, and it's pretty questionable, but I don't know.
You're giving him some toad venom, apparently, and then he died. Yeah.
Is it controversial to ask why the guy's charged with manslaughter if he wasn't forcing the venom on the individual?
So they're saying that he was lying about its benefits. That they were apparently claiming people were easily influenced and saying that you could use it to cure illnesses, addictions, or it's a form of alternative medicine, essentially.
I would,
it is not. It's just a psychedelic drug.
Yeah, I hope if you were taking anything from an animal that you'd never heard of, you'd at least do some research on that and not believe every con man out there. But man, what a wild, wild way to die. You died from toad venom? Because a porn star talked you into it.
Would you guys ever be willing to try a drug like that? Toad venom?
No. Wouldn't even consider it.
What if you hadn't heard the story about it killing people?
I don't care. No. I'm not in on the word venom. Are you not in on, is not good.
Are you not in on psychedelics? Are you not a psychedelic bro?
I participated one time when I was a lot younger.
I've never had weed.
Yeah.
Alcohol, tobaccos, as far as those are the only roads I've gone down.
That's where I draw the line right there.
You might be missing out on some of that stuff. But this is a new one. The headline came across yesterday. I saw your tweet and I thought, wow.
Wait, what?
I once got talked into doing a Scientology test in LA.
Okay.
So I visited Los Angeles years and years ago. A buddy of mine walking in Hollywood, like where the squares are and the Scientology Center. Well, we didn't really know anything. I didn't know anything about Scientology. Hadn't read anything. We got talked by this guy. He's on the sidewalk and he's got like a little store. And he goes, hey, you interested in a personality test? We've got tickets to a show. You complete the personality test, you go to a ticket, you go to any show you want. And we were like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to see a taping of a show.
There you go. That's a good deal.
Well, we got in there. Store was a weird vibe.
Very weird. Yeah.
Tom Cruise books and Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard. What is this? Started taking the personality test, and I'd say about 5 questions. Me and my buddy look in, and we go, is this for something? And he goes, oh, yeah, we like to evaluate people before we invite them into Scientology. And me and him looked at each other and went,
wait, what?
This is it. That's it. We're done. And we set the pens down. We walked out. He was begging and pleading, come back.
No, come on.
You'll love it. They treat us so well. Ended up getting tickets down the road from Spider-Man to the best damn sports show, period.
There you go.
Yeah, that was one where I was like, got influenced to do a personality test. And I felt weird about that. I can't fathom what it's like to be talked into taking venom.
So is anybody out there ingested any toad venom? 503-250-1080. It's going to take a while to remember that. Let us know. I wonder if anybody's out there tried it. I do contend, though, that is a wonderful headline.
How many people survive?
I don't know. Apparently, it's a pretty common thing. Where did this part of the story go? Apparently, it's a pretty common thing in, like, the Amazon. Yeah.
Well, those are really probably ancient
shamanic
traditions.
Shamanic ritual? Is that the right word? Yeah. Shamanic ritual? They're saying, yeah, it's a pretty, compared to this other power hallucinogenic concoction that comes from the Amazon. So that's what they're putting in comparison.
Do they do this
with
to get higher to heal? Because I feel like you could just do shrooms.
I don't know.
Give them some chocolate teddy bears and let them call it a day.
But in the meantime, go check out the candles because those are pretty funny. And I'm contemplating buying one because it'd get everybody a good chuckle. Okay, let's get to crunch time coming up next. An update on where college programs are at. And an interesting note about next year's college football season. We'll get to that crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Or hold on, stall for time. They just sent me a new read, and I'm opening the attachment as we speak.
By the way, CJ's tweet says, we play for an ownership group that actually listens to its players and has a backbone. We voiced what we felt was the best option. They followed our lead. That leads me to believe this entire vote, Portland being the lone no vote on the NBA return format, was all players. So that's how the players felt. They didn't like it.
All the players, huh?
They wanted their way, and if they didn't get their way, they were voting no.
Okay. Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their Beaverton and Aloha locations opening up Monday, June 8th, and then Portland, Vancouver will be opening on June 15th. I already was texting my trainer yesterday. So, are you ready?
Man, he hasn't seen you in a while.
I said, yeah, I got fat again. Let's go.
You know what? Are you worried about how much you may have lost, like, on the squat rack? Because when's the last time you squat?
Yeah, I told him it's going to take a while to build up to normal workouts.
Yeah.
I said, let's stretch.
Let's walk.
Let's walk it out a little bit. Let's, you know, we got to ease. It's like getting into a hot tub. You know, I'm not jumping back into that thing head first. You got to go toes, ankles, knees.
Do people always go into hot tubs head first?
You never know. You could if you want to.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get to this, shall we? By the way, some text that came in.
Yeah. On the toad venom.
Yeah, the toe venom. Where did this one go? Somebody said, I ate a bunch of mushrooms the other day before my friends took me to the employee store. It turns out they weren't doing buddy passes, so I had to sit in the car and listen to Isaac and Sue. It honestly was awesome.
On mushrooms.
So just hanging out, listening to the show on mushrooms. So that was kind of cool. Somebody said, I too haven't done psychedelics. I feel like my brain is weird and nervous enough already. A tree is the way to drug. Herb is wild enough.
I did it one time as a teenager, and I've shared those experiences before, but I did it once. It went fine. I actually ended up having a funny experience, but never again. It took me over for
yeah,
about
a good trip. Yeah, it
and it went
far.
For about 4.5-5 hours. We skipped a day in high school. I was a stupid kid, right? I've never been shy about that. And went to a friend's house and partook. And we played basketball for 20 minutes. That's when I knew it kicked in, and we realized we didn't actually have a basketball.
No basketball.
We were like setting screens, and people were shooting, and we were rebounding, and we were high-fiving, and then we were like, wait a minute,
what's going
Nobody
on?
Nobody has a ball right now.
I had a night with Crawford one time where he tried to do that. And I wasn't quite on the same plane. And I thought, this is the dumbest thing anybody's ever tried to do. Can we just stop this right now? Somebody said, I've done DMT a couple of times. I think he's saying he's done it. Is that what it is, DMT?
DMT is just a psychedelic.
Sure.
Yeah.
It makes your brain release endorphins that are released when you're born, but they make you feel like you're going to die. But once you get past that phase, it's great. I'll just stick to shrooms and acid from now on, though.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything else, but I was told prior to doing it as a teenager, somebody said that if you go into it with a bad mindset and a negative mentality, you're more likely to have a bad experience. So that's that's all I know. There's my expertise.
There you go. Somebody said the toad thing is on the rise. So apparently they're Spanish porn stars are doing it. Somebody said Dirk's going to get a set of those candles as a wedding gift, and it's going to be awesome. That would be kind of funny.
Would you be mad if it came in my red envelope?
Dude, I would crack up if somebody gave that to me as a wedding gift.
Because if I went pre-standing tall, it could probably fit in the the envelope perfectly with the money.
You just get a slightly larger envelope.
I don't know if it's slightly larger.
Don't give me that benefit. Okay, let's get to this. We're going to do some baseball stuff coming up in the final hour and Swag's bag of plums today. So everybody's kind of itching for college football, of course, this fall and wanting it for it to come back. And by the way, I saw Texas reported today that they are now up to allowing 50% of capacity. It was 25% like a week or two ago. Now it's up to 50%. So it's going north, although case numbers are going up. But people have kind of wondered, how is this going to look for college athletes as they come back, right? And Oregon and Oregon State, according to Kate Brown, will be allowed to return to practice on June 15th. And that's when both programs have stated that they're going to start voluntary workouts for people that are able to get back. And they all have their own protocols and safety stuff in place, right? Well, you're starting to see some people kind of return in positive tests that are ticking upwards. And the latest one comes to you from Alabama, where this was reported on their 24/7 website today, that at least five Alabama players have tested positive for COVID-19. The story reads, upon returning to campus this week, at least five Alabama football players have tested positive for the novel coronavirus. Multiple sources have informed Bama Online. Players returned to Tuscaloosa this week ahead of the start of voluntary workouts, which I believe start next week. Following testing, several members of the Crimson Tide tested positive for the virus. So we've seen this. We've also seen at places across the country where players have gone to protests and they have caught the virus, assume at the protests, and they have since tested positive for this. I think this just highlights why it's going to be really weird and unique to follow of how are you going to handle this? Because, you know, cases are going to happen everywhere with people coming back to college campuses. Watching how they handle it is going to be interesting.
Well, and don't forget, some schools say they're not going to test when they return. Yeah. I imagine those sentiments are going to be walked back quick. Alabama now with five. Oklahoma State had a couple players, and they said they can't return to campus yet. This is a nice reminder. Oh, by the way, COVID's still out there. Arizona's cases are kind of coming up now, and people are starting to watch some of these places that have been approaching this differently than others, and whether this is going to flare up again or if it's just going to slightly rise and then maybe die off yet again. I'm going to stay optimistic that football season will happen. This is the least encouraging news you could have for that.
And we haven't even started the workouts yet, and you're already seeing the test pop up.
Stuart Mandel made a really good point on Twitter with this. He said, look, this is it's good to know. Why are the universities not announcing this? This is a public health issue with student athletes who are, according to everybody's research, the only ones on campuses being told to come back because they need to save their athletic departments to play football. The university should be announcing this, not GD sources. So 24/7, thanks for the scoop. They shouldn't be getting a scoop.
Right.
Alabama should be sending generic emails out. University of Alabama announces five players have tested positive for COVID. Yada, yada, yada. This is what you worry about. This is how seasons get derailed. And it's nice to have the approach that you eventually will have fans in the stands during the season. This is why Texas, 50% capacity. Really? Okay. Do your thing. Maybe you'll be okay. And if you are, I will fully back that. Again, this does not have to be I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'm still going to fight against you. If you are right and I disagree with the approach, I'll clap. Right. I hope you're right. But this is the part that makes it really uneasy and unnerving about having your season is when these stories pop up. Five players? Okay, great. What if five go to places that don't test? And then they go from 5
right.
to 20, to 30, from 30 to 40. I don't know what programs are going to do. If one test positive, is just him going to sit out? There's so many questions that need to be answered on this, but this is what your concern was. Players going back, contracting this virus or spreading the virus, and you already have multiple programs that have this happen.
Yeah, so not a great start. They were scheduled to start practice next week, Alabama, that is, or at least five players, so it might even have been more than that, that have tested positive. And I think the big question out of it is what you alluded to, and that is, will the programs that said they were not going to test upon returning, will they change their stance? Because as we've all stated along, it's not the, you're not necessarily fearful of 18 to 22-year-olds. Now, we don't know if any of these kids have underlying health issues. There's a lot of people out there that have underlying health issues, and they don't quite realize it yet, right? But for the most part, 18 to 22-year-olds, the vast overwhelming majority of them end up surviving and being totally fine. There's ripple effects, though. And do those people have people in their lives that are at risk? Can they see their parents in this process? Can they see their grandparents? Do you have anybody on the coaching staff that may be at risk for catching this? And he's around players every day. So that's where it is. I don't like the idea of not testing. It's good for them to test when they come back. I know both local Oregon and Oregon State schools will do that. Alabama clearly did, and already five kids have tested positive just upon returning to campus to try and get back to practicing next week. And this will be something we'll keep an eye on, because everybody's starting to, you know, kind of come back and get going, and fall camps and right around the corner, all that kind of stuff. And Oregon and Oregon State close to starting as well. So we'll keep an eye on it. But five Alabama players have already tested positive for the novel coronavirus, and practice is set to begin next week.
Yeah. The future of this thing is very unknown. It's always changing. And I texted with somebody yesterday, because I mentioned earlier the Oregon State Athletic Department had to let go some people who, you know, they'd been there a long time. And it was a really tough day yesterday for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I know names weren't released, and I'm actually kind of glad about that. I think a couple were leaked, but I never like finding out about that stuff publicly. When I was texting with the individual, I said, do you feel good about your chances? Like, where is this at? And they basically said, really hinges on football. At least at
you
Oregon
have to
State
have a football season.
And I know Oregon State is different than a lot of universities within the conference, but basically it depends on football and it depends on fans in the stands. If football is to be delayed or not return, it's going to be damn near impossible for most of the athletic department to keep their jobs. And if they can't have stands, there's certainly absolutely going to be more cuts. And that's the part we're obviously all trying to avoid in all areas of work right now, because the unemployment claims are, I think, at 42 million now. Yep. After the last week's results. This continues to get ugly and ugly, and we've highlighted it before, but the importance of football, universities like Oregon State, Louisville, programs like that have donations but not big-time donors that can help them, it's everything. And if this continues to go, I just don't know how you go with a football season regularly scheduled, because you're not having fans, and I don't even know what you do as a team if 20 or more end up getting it.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. We're all eager for college football. Financially, we need it, but we'll keep an eye on where the tests go with the players, and hopefully all of them recover, and it's totally fine. But five Alabama players test positive upon returning to campus. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their Beaverton and Aloha locations opening up on June 8th, and then Portland and Vancouver to follow after that. Go check out all the deals at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Swag's Plums coming up at 2:15. We'll see if they're juicy and ripe on this Thursday. We got some baseball stuff to get to. We have a man conning a local casino we need to get to. What else is in my notes? We got a Twitter thread from somebody who was at the protest last night. We got a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.